coming again tonight. It's nice to see familiar faces. You're coming back night after night, and that is most appreciated. I know we're all very busy people, and I do appreciate you coming to hear the gospel. God does say in his word that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me be clear, by coming to gospel meetings, by just being physically present at gospel meetings, will not mean salvation. It's not an automatic thing. You come five nights running and your passport stamped for heaven. No, that's the wrong idea. But by coming to this place, you will hear the gospel. You'll hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you hear about him, the more you'll begin to appreciate, I trust, who he is and what he can do for you. And that is our desire, night after night, just to make known the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are interested in the forgiveness of sins, if you are longing for answers to life's ultimate questions, if you are really in earnest about finding the way to heaven, you've come to the right place, because we're going to speak about that tonight. We're going to speak about the Lord Jesus as being the exclusive way to God and the only way to heaven. So thank you for coming. We do announce the meetings in the rest for the rest of the week in the Lord's will. Tomorrow night there's a children's meeting at 6 o'clock, and then the gospel meeting again at 7:45. Then no meeting Friday or Saturday, but Sunday evening 7:45 we're back again for our second week of special gospel meetings. And these meetings continue in the will of the Lord, same as this week, next week, each night to Thursday at 7:45. Please pardon the repetition, but I do want to make it clear that after the meeting I am happy to speak to anyone, and we do have a coffee morning, as I've said before, at 10:30 on Tuesday morning, which would be a good opportunity to have a chat and maybe give you some booklets that could help you explain the way of salvation in that form. But I want to read this evening in the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John. And I want to read the words of the Lord Jesus in chapter 14. In fact, I want to read a wee bit more than normal, just to get the whole flow of the story, the context here of what I'm going to speak about. I want to read the first 6 verses of John chapter 14. These are quite familiar verses. Quite often you would go to a funeral perhaps and you would hear these verses being read. Just to put it in context for you, the Lord Jesus has announced to his disciples that he is going back to his Father. He's gathered his disciples round about him, and he says to them, I'm going away, back to my Father. They did not like the sound of that news at all. He had been their Lord and Master for 3.5 years. They had been in daily contact with him. They had listened to his words. They had watched his miracles. They had hung on his every syllable. And now he's going to go away. And they don't like that. And so the Lord Jesus, to allay their fears and to strengthen their hearts, he says to them in verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's this response by the Lord Jesus in verse 6 to Thomas's question. In verse 5, Thomas, one of the disciples, comes to the Lord Jesus and says, Lord, I'm not on the same page as you are. I'm not following clearly what you're saying. I'm not sure about the way to these many mansions, the way to heaven. Could you please spell it out? Tell me the way, because I don't know. And the Lord Jesus responds to that question in the most precious way imaginable. Jesus says to Thomas, and he says to us tonight, because these words have lost none of their power. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no human being, no individual comes unto the Father but by me. And this is the verse we want to use in the preaching of the gospel tonight. And we do know that God always blesses his word when we read it. You know, quite often Thomas, who we're thinking about tonight, who asked this question in John 14, is given a bad press. Even to this day in 2014, probably somebody has spoken about doubting Thomas. And Thomas is always viewed as that individual who is always looking on the negative rather than positive. His glass is always half empty rather than being half full. And he's always pessimistic. And he's always, well, one of my children really liked Winnie the Pooh. And if you know anything about Winnie the Pooh, you know Eeyore. And Thomas was an Eeyore. He was always looking on the negative side. But you know, I don't want to be too hard on Thomas. You'll not find this preacher criticising Thomas. You know why? I'm so glad he asked what he asked. I'm so glad when Thomas was listening to the Lord Jesus here in John chapter 14 that he did not suffer in silence. What do I mean by that? Well, maybe that's exactly what you're doing, suffering in silence. You know you're a sinner. You agree with God that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you don't need anybody to come to tell you you're a sinner. You know that. You know the potential of your heart. You know your own history. If my sins were written on the wall tonight, every sin that I've committed in thought and word and deed, I could never come back here, but God knows every one of them. And maybe you, like me, you agree with God that he is right and we are wrong, and there's a barrier, there's our sin between us and God. And you would just love to have a way through, a bridge through, over that barrier. You would love to know peace with God. You would love to know the way to God, the way to heaven, if you're suffering in silence. Take a leaf out of Thomas's book. Thomas would not allow another moment to go by. When people were speaking about heaven, when the disciples seemed to be enjoying what he was not enjoying, peace with God, forgiveness of sins, a right relationship with Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus was speaking about going to his Father and going to heaven, Thomas was in the dark. And maybe you tonight are searching for answers to life's ultimate questions. Maybe you really want to know the way to God. Maybe you're sick of your sin. You're sick of the misery and the monotony of sin, day in, day out. You feel you're on a treadmill and you just want to get off it, like get off the roundabout that we're speaking about the other day. And starting on the right road with a new life, with a new heart, with a new home. Maybe you're like that tonight. Well, I am glad to tell you there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. Listen, Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus. You can be saved tonight. You do not need to suffer in silence. You don't need to sit in the dark and wait for the inevitable, to live in your sins and die in your sins and live and be in eternity in your sins in hell. It doesn't need to happen. I love to quote it. I try and quote it every night in gospel preaching because it's so beautiful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Thomas, what an answer he gets to his question. And you know, I do feel, there's folks in the meeting tonight, and you would just long to know peace with God, assurance of salvation, a future home in heaven, sins forgiven, a right relationship with God. What a joy it is to be saved, and you would want that, I trust. Some people, mind you, that I've spoken to today and in past days, not only here in Inner Leven but in Methil, but all over the country, there's many people you speak to and, well, they're not sure about heaven. And they say things like, well, nobody's come back from the other side to tell us. And, well, that's actually not true. The Lord Jesus came back. He rose again the third day. The Lord Jesus, while he was here, raised a 12-year-old girl from death to life. He did it with a mature man called Lazarus. He did it with a young man, a widow's son. You see, that's not true. And a lot of people bluff. And a lot of people are filled with bravado and they lift their fist to God, whether it's Richard Dawkins or whether it's the common man in the street. They say, well, nobody knows what lies ahead. Some people take great comfort in that and they stick their head in the sand and they just try and keep busy and keep occupied on the day-to-day things of life without facing the future. I hope you're the opposite of that. This came to my attention not so very long ago. I was in a friend's house when he turned 40, and well, some people have had a birthday today, and you want to see what my friend got for his 40th birthday. He got a sat-nav. It was no ordinary sat-nav. It was a Road Angel 7000 Navigator. And when I found out what his wife paid for the sat-nav, I would be looking for the car thrown in. It was a lot of money. But this Road Angel 7000 Navigator, when you read the blurb on the back of the box, what it was going to do for you, it was quite astounding. It was going to guide you through the journeys of life. It was going to take you from A to B the quickest possible time and the safest possible way. It was going to alert you with regards to fixed speed cameras and mobile cameras. It was going to tell you about road tolls, bridge tolls. It was going to tell you all these kind of things. It was going to guide you and guard you through the journeys of life. And the last sentence of the selling spiel was this: the Road Angel 7000 Navigator will do all these things for you because it is so good to know what lies ahead. See, when you take the bravado away and all the bluff and bluster away, every single one of us, because we've been made in the image of God and because we've got a God-shaped void in our hearts, every single one of us want to know what lies ahead. And you're no different. I'm glad to tell you this evening that there is a way to heaven that you can find tonight. A way to heaven that you can find tonight. But the first stage of that journey starts with the discovery on the journey of life. You see, Thomas here discovered that he was on the wrong road, on the journey of life. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, The Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7, makes it clear that every human being, past, present and future, we were all born and we all started the journey of life. One road. One journey. We were all born on the broad road. Every single one of us. And he speaks about that broad road in Matthew chapter 7 verse 13 as a dangerous road. You see, we're all born sinners. Every single one of us, in our DNA, we've all been fatally flawed because we have inherited a sinful nature from our parents way back to Adam and Eve. Every one of us. As soon as we were born, we go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not a certain select people who can say, looking down their noses and say, we are not sinners, we are holier than thou. No, everybody's on the same level. All have sinned. So we were all born, we've all got one journey in life, and we're all born on the broad road. But thank God, there's another road that you can get onto. And that comes in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 7. The Lord Jesus illustrates it. He paints this picture as he speaks that day in Matthew chapter 7 about the journey of life and the broad road. And people are on that broad road. They started the journey in their sins and they're quite happy to continue in their sins, living as if there's no God, ignoring the Lord Jesus, failing to appreciate his work on the cross to save sinners, just careering on that fast lane of the broad road, heading to destruction, heading to hell and the judgment of God ultimately in the lake of fire. But thank God the Lord Jesus says there is another road. You can get off of the broad road, go on to the narrow road, and that's leading in the opposite direction. That's leading to heaven and life. The broad road's leading to the darkness of separation from God forever. The narrow road's leading right into God's presence and the light of eternal day. I'm glad as a boy of 16, I never tire of telling people this. I'm glad as a boy of 16, in fact, the very day I turned 16, never forget that day, that I got off of the broad road, got off of the road that was leading to destruction, and I got on to the narrow road. Amazing thing is, just let me tell you this very quick personal story. The day before I get saved, I was at school. The last day of me being 15, at Whitburn Academy, I was at school. It was a Monday morning. I had been at the gospel meeting the night before in Whitburn. The preacher of the gospel that night had been preaching about these two roads and two destinies, because if you end the journey of life on the broad road, your destiny is hell. But if you end the journey of life on the narrow road, your destiny is heaven. And I'd been listening to that. The next morning, first two periods should have been maths now. Girls, you just close your ears just now, because I wasn't at maths. I was sitting in the common room playing hooky when I should have been at maths. And in the common room, there was the radio. Radio 1 was playing. And as I was sitting there, out of the blue came this song by a group that I was interested in at that time. We're on the road to nowhere. We're on the road to nowhere. Then straight after that came another song. We're on the road to hell. I couldn't believe it. I almost was physically sick. I thought about what I'd heard the night before. And now, Monday morning, I wasn't actually always in the habit of missing classes, but that morning I just couldn't face it. And I sat in the common room, there might have been another six people there. I had to go home. I realised I was on the road to hell. But I got off that road the next day and turned in the opposite direction from my sins and the road to destruction, and I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I made the greatest discovery of my lifetime. And that's the first thing, that's the first stage on the way to God's salvation, is to discover that you're not right. You're not right with God. You're not on the right road. You're not a child of God. You're not on the way to heaven, because you don't have Christ as your Saviour. You don't have Him as the way. You don't know Him as the truth. You don't experience His life. You're still at a distance because of your sin. It's never been sorted. It's never been faced up to. It's never, the subject has never ever come out into the open, and you've never done real business with God and accepted His Son. Oh, make life's all important discovery. The tragedy is that many people are lost in their sins and they don't even know it. And they don't care about it. There's a man in the Bible though who said one in Psalm chapter 88, he said this, I am counted with them who are going down to the pit. Another man in Psalm 119 verse 176 said this, I have gone astray. Not all we like sheep have gone astray, but I'm culpable. I have gone astray. Like a lost sheep. Life's all important discovery. You know, the amazing thing is this though. When you discover you're on the wrong road, what do you need? You need directions. You need directions. When you're lost, you need directions. And I am so thankful that the Lord Jesus here gives life-giving, soul-saving directions. He says to Thomas and everyone else the world over, he says, Thomas, you're anxious to know the true way to heaven. You want to know the way to God? I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I say without exaggeration and with certainly without a blush tonight, I say Jesus is the only way to salvation from sin and peace with God and an eternal home in heaven. You will not find this anywhere else or in anyone else. We repeat it, and it's not just a mantra, it's absolutely true. Salvation is found in a person. It's not in religion. Religion really is man's attempt to get right with God. Salvation is what God has provided for man to get right with himself. It's not about our doing, it's about us accepting what has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God at Calvary, when He paid the tremendous price in His own blood for God to come out and cleanse and forgive and save sinners. No, Jesus is the way. There's no other way. Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, there is one God and one mediator, one go-between between God and man, Himself a man, Christ Jesus. There's one way. You see, sadly, the dominant desire of the human heart is to go his own way. Had God given 1,000 ways for men and women to come into His presence and be part of His family, if God had given multiple choices, the dominant desire of the human heart would be, I just want one more. Give me one more. You see, twice over in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, the verse goes like this, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is the way of death. You see, here are directions from God, from God's Son. You're either going to receive these directions. Once you discover you're lost, you need to listen to the directions that come from heaven. Thank God, the Lord Jesus is crystal clear in His directions. You know, there's no confusion. I'm always very reluctant to give people directions because I don't always remember it as it actually is. There's always a road of forget. There's always a turning. The Lord Jesus makes it clear. You know what he says? He says, listen, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enters, then he shall be saved. Now that's simple. What do? You go through a door to get from A to B. The Lord Jesus is the way into God's presence. There's no ambiguity about it. The Lord Jesus says in another place, Matthew 11 verse 28, he says, if you come unto me, I will give you rest. He says, trust in me. Believe me. Receive me like you would receive a gift. Directions. Mind you, the devil would give false directions. He has been a liar from the beginning. And he, like he did way back in the Garden of Eden, when Eve was standing there looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had said, you have not to touch it, you have not to take of that fruit. That's the one tree you're not allowed. The day you do that, there'll be separation between me and you, and you will die. Satan, that old serpent, the devil, slithered up and said to Eve, can you really believe what God said? Has God said? You'll not surely die. And what he's doing is this, he's pouring scorn on the word of God. He's trying to deceive. He did deceive Eve. And we know the sorry tale. She took the fruit. She lusted after it. She took it. She sinned against God. Adam sinned as well. He disobeyed God, and sin passed upon us all, right down the generations of time. We have all inherited this sinful, disobedient, fallen nature. Don't be deluded by the devil tonight. I know what it's like. I remember sitting in gospel meetings and just feeling the weight and the burden of my personal sin against God. And then all of a sudden, something would cross my mind like, you don't need to take it too seriously. You don't need to make any decision tonight. You can put it off, Blair. You're playing football next week. You've got this, you've got that, you've got that. This to look forward. Just settle. Don't get too worked up. Can I tell you, you only have now. Tomorrow is just eternity hid from your sight. The Bible says don't boast about tomorrow because you don't know what a day may bring. Seek the Lord tonight. You might never be in circumstances like you are in tonight, where you're listening with a clear mind and you're focusing upon life's most important issue, your soul salvation. You never know what would happen after we are together tonight. So listen to the directions. Listen to these directions. They are soul saving. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You see, how could the Lord Jesus say that with such confidence, with such force and power? Well, you see, shortly after he said these words to the disciples in John 14, he made his way out of the room where he was speaking, and he took his journey to a cross outside the city of Jerusalem. He had a way, he had a journey, he had a road he had to travel, because if there had been no sufferings of Christ on the cross at Calvary, there could be no salvation. We could forget all about ever being right with God, or having a home in heaven, or a relationship with our Maker, if Christ had not come and suffered. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and in order for sinners to be saved, he had to suffer on the cross. We had done all the sinning. We had broken all God's rules. We'd come short of God's standard. The only person, the only man that has ever lived, or whoever will live, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who never sinned, who never broke the rules, who kept God's law, who did absolutely everything that delighted the heart of God, he was the one who voluntarily went to the cross, having no sins of his own, but he went to the cross and took upon himself our sins, died for our iniquities. Bible puts it this way, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the price of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. What a work the Lord Jesus Christ did. He had a journey he had to take. The Son of God, the holy, sinless Son of God, went his way, wended his way to the cross, and on the cross, he's the truth. He's the very personification of truth. And because of our sin, he became answerable for all the lies and all the sins and all the iniquities that we have committed. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And the life went into death, the light of the world, the everlasting life, the eternal one, went into death on our behalf. I've been teaching the boys and girls this all week, and it's a wonderful gospel verse that God commended, demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He can say, like no one else, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no man comes unto the Father but by me, because of who he is and because of what he did on the cross. But here in closing, discovery on the journey of life. Directions. I'm so glad there are directions. From Christ to us to point us to heaven. There comes a moment, the Americans talk in language like where the rubber hits the road. There's a moment when we have to make a decision. You cannot remain in neutral. You know what I mean? You know, sitting in some kind of no man's land. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and I believe everything you're saying, Blair. I do know. This is the word of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and there's heaven, there's hell. You have to do something about it, though. You have to make this decision. I'm determined to no longer go on with my sins and my old life. I'm rid of it. I'm turning away from it. That's what repentance means. 180 degree, an actual hating of your life and your sin and your wickedness and the road that you're on, and a turning to the Lord Jesus, who's the opposite of sin, the opposite of everything that man speaks of. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of glory. And you turn from your sins in repentance by faith to the Lord Jesus, and you accept him. You accept his words. You accept his work for you on the cross. You accept him unreservedly as your Lord and Master and Saviour. It's obvious that Thomas did exactly that. You find him later on in this gospel, after the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He says, never forget, yes, the Lord Jesus went to the cross. He did literally die. He entered voluntarily into death. He was placed in a tomb. But 3 days later, he rose again. He's a living Saviour. And he was seen of hundreds of people over the days and weeks after his resurrection, before he went back to heaven. And in those days, you know what Thomas did one day? He got before Christ and he said, you're my Lord and you're my God. He took the right directions. He made the right decision. Which way is it going to be for you tonight? I'm sure you've been at a funeral like I have, and you've been confused. For instance, I was at a funeral and they started the service off by singing the old Rugged Cross. And then the last, you can't call it him, it's not him, the last song was Sinatra's I Did It My Way. It's a contradiction. It's either the cross way, Christ's way, or your way. You can't have the Saviour, you're listening, and your sin. It's heaven or hell. It's salvation. I'll say this carefully because God knows my heart. I'm not hard. It's salvation or damnation. I did it my way. If that's the case, if that's the way you live and that's the way you die, God will hold you to that. But if you come to Christ this evening, turn to Him and trust Him, put your confidence in Him, believe in Him, you'll find a way that leads to everlasting life and heaven itself. Now shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee He is the way, the truth and the life. Remember Peter said concerning Him, there's no salvation apart from Him, neither is there salvation in any other. And we pray, Father, that some dear soul in this meeting will find salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We thank Thee then for Thy word. Ask Thy blessing and parting in the Saviour's name. Amen.